And I want to read from chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 9. All right? And we're going to look at the peace of God tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to bless our time. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the teaching that we're going to receive. And we pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have God confidence towards thee, faith towards thee. And, Father, help us experience the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I'm praying your blessing upon our service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, and so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul goes on and says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thank you. You may be seated. So the scriptures speak of two types of peace which a child of God can experience. There's peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. Now, this command which the Lord gives us simply is that the sinner, if they're going to have peace with God, they've got to be made right with God. And to make peace with the Lord, the process is through the new birth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification equals peace. And God tells us that we have a peace with God. The Lord wants to be reconciled, wants us to be reconciled with him. Notice Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, and having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we've made peace with the blood of the cross. So there's redemption there. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Now, man by nature does not know peace with God, let alone have the peace of God. So he's got to make peace with God. And there's only one way of doing it, beloved. It's not, you know, different paths to God or different ways to God. There's one way, and that's the new birth. That's being born again. That's repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2 and verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. So man by nature is far off from God. He's separated from God. And that's why God commands us here. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1, God commands man to repent. Now notice, if you would, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, in saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. So this was a requirement. You had to believe the gospel to be saved. And God, of course, mentions you've got to repent. Notice Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24. And the Bible tells us here in Luke 24 and verse 46, and said unto them, thus is written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead, and the third day. So there's the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he says in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached is in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this was the responsibility of the Lord's church. They preach repentance. You got to be reconciled to God. You got to be made right with God. And you got to believe the gospel. And then notice, if you would, Galatians chapter 5. And the Bible tells us here, as a result of being saved, we have the indwelling spirit or the fruit of spirit. And God says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, and peace. And there's no peace now. And people, they said it back in the 50s and 60s, the 70s and so on. Oh, we want peace. We want peace. You're not going to have any peace. There's no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. There's none. And you can, you know, do yoga, or you can meditate, or you can, you know, hum whatever you want to hum. But the thing is this, is there's no peace without God. And that's why it's so important that you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4. And Paul here gives us the instruction on the peace of God, because you have the peace with God. Now, what is the peace of God? Listen closely. It is ceasing to be an enemy of God and being his child. So the Bible tells us that man is at enmity with God. The other word is he's an enemy of God. And you may say, preacher, I don't mean to be an enemy of God, but you are. If you're not saved, you're not one of God's children. And I have to tell you, I just did a Bible study with Rob Pappas, and we studied the subject of hell. That study was so sobering. Again, to refresh my mind, refresh my memory. That's where the lost are going. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can be super religious. You can live for the devil as far as being a witch or whatever. But they're all heading to hell. There's no in between. And to die and go to hell without Christ is going to be horrible. I mean, that is not even a good enough word to describe the pangs of hell. It's going to be horrible. And you don't want to go there, my friend. And you can go on, you know, not this Sunday, not next week, not next, maybe anniversary Sunday, maybe the fall meetings. Look, you need to be saved now. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's what God wants. And not to do that, you're an enemy of God. And you probably don't see yourself that way, but that's what you are. And how important it is that you get right with God. So Paul tells us, here's word that one man said this, the peace of God is a confident trust in God's flawless wisdom, infinite power that provides calm amid the storms of life. Romans chapter 15, let's turn there, please. Romans chapter 15, and notice verse 13, and the Bible tells us here, chapter 15, and verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So God says here that not only the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So this is a result of believing or trusting Christ. And the result is joy. It's peace. It abounds in hope. It has God confidence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul says here number one, peace with path of all understanding. Notice chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, this peace is inexpressible. It defies analysis. It passeth all misunderstanding also. The Bible says that, as a result of salvation, we're going to have a peace that passeth all understanding. It's not going to make sense. It's going to defy that which is normal. As we see the world around us, is, you know, a wars and rumors of war. And may I say this, friend? You know, we are towards the end of the season of the Lord's return. I believe that. And what do we see? Wars and rumors of war. So it's very difficult to think that, you know, we have all this time. We don't. The Lord may come back tonight. He may come back tomorrow. And you don't have the rest of your days. You don't have the rest of your life. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible goes on and tells us that there's also peace when there's misunderstanding. God says in His Word, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I know this, and I thank God that we don't have an immature church. Amen. I remember there was a day when it seemed like everyone and their brother was offended. And I was the preacher. The idea is that we're not to be that way. So you say, well, they disrespected me. They slighted me. They didn't speak to me, whatever. The Bible says, great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, you may not be there right now, but that's what you need to be striving for. You need to have an understanding heart. You know, the tongue's in a slippery place. It's there in your mouth, and you wind up saying things that maybe you don't mean to say. Or maybe you don't want to say, but you say it anyway, or you shouldn't say it. This happens, beloved. We shouldn't be offended. We shouldn't go around with offenses. Oh, this person, and that person, that couple, this family. Don't be that way. Be mature in the Lord. Grow up in Christ. So, well, they offended me and they're going to have to apologize to me. Well, that's the wrong attitude to have. The Bible speaks about unity. The Bible speaks about, I'm not saying if someone's been offensive, you need to talk to them. But don't talk to everyone else but them. Go talk to them alone. And then you don't have success there. I'll come in on it. Two or three witnesses. In Isaiah 26:3, let's turn there if we could. Isaiah 26:3. This is a very famous verse about having peace. And the Bible says in chapter 26 of Isaiah, and notice verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So here's the thing. That doesn't mean you have to listen to Christian music all the time. Doesn't mean you say, I can't have any distractions. I got to hear the Word of God all the time. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about here, thou shalt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's speaking like in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sin and see the scornful. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in it doth he meditate day and night. So he says, it stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The idea is because you trust God, you have your mind on spiritual things. Doesn't mean I can listen to the Word of God all the time, because if I don't, I'll start finding fault. I'll marry this person. That's crazy. That's what it is. Because you have faith in Christ, because you trust the Lord, you're going to have perfect peace, because your mind's going to be on spiritual things. And that's exactly what it means. So this is what the Bible says. This could only be the imprint of the Lord's perfection. And the God of peace is without flaw. Nothing can disturb it. This peace comes from the Lord, not within man. And that's important to understand. Your heart is not going to produce peace. The Lord will produce peace. Amen? And the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit, not man. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the abiding Spirit of God in our lives. Now, man is described to us as the troubled sea. And not the calm, not the sea that's tranquil. That's the spiritually filled man, is the man who's at peace. Why? He has the peace with God and the peace of God. Now, the thought behind this verse, let's look at chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the thought behind this verse is peace is supernatural. This is very important to understand. You're not going to make it happen. It's supernatural. It comes from the Lord. It speaks of God's attribute of peace. In John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is, peace is not humanly understood or comprehended. And it seems the world is falling apart, and yet we can go to God and have the peace of God, the peace with God. So this is a very important verse here, which tells us that the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And then he says, and the second thought is peace which keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the heart of man is found in your soul, your mind. It's not the muscle, it's the soul, it's the mind, it's in the bowels of mercies. And this is the area which causes people to worry about things. They fret about things. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I'm not trying to insult our congregation, but I want to be honest with you. Where's all your worrying gotten you? Anyone want to volunteer? I mean, where's it gotten you? Well, I worry about this person. I worry about my children. I worry about my husband. I worry about my wife. I worry about... Where's it getting you? Nowhere. Now, I have to tell you, the problem is that trust is far more important than worry. Worry is not good for you. It's not good for you. And I think there's 47 symptoms or something like that, physical symptoms in your life because of worry. It's not healthy. Doesn't get you anywhere. You're better off having faith. You're better off trusting. You're better off relying upon God. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot to worry about. If you know the Lord, there's nothing to worry about. And that's what Jesus was telling us, not only in his own Gospels, but also in the verses of Old and New Testament. He talks about trusting, relying. Now, this area which worries about things, troubled by things, the Lord promised that he'll keep one's soul, one's mind, one's heart, that is trusting the Lord with their whole being. And notice verse 7 again. Will keep your hearts and minds. Well, that's not where I worry. Where are you worried? It's in your heart and mind. And really, they're both the same. They're not separate. Paul is just telling you that, you know, there's nothing. But he promises that that God will protect. He'll guard you from anxiety, from doubt, from worry. You know, it'd be good for our whole church. I mean this. To really go through the Gospels, go through the New Testament in 1 month. Read the whole New Testament in 1 month. What are you doing? You're hiding the Word of God in your heart. And I'm not making fun of anyone. I know it is to have people concerned in their lives and so on. And to worry about things. And there's nothing to worry about. And if you are going to worry, it's not going to change anything. Outside, you're going to make yourself sick. And God doesn't want his children sick. And I'm not saying, I'm not preaching charismatism or healings. I'm just saying it's not right to be sick. And in most cases, God wants you to be healthy. And Paul said that in the scriptures. So this means the Lord will guard and protect you from anxiety, doubt, and worry. When Paul used the term heart and mind, the Lord is speaking of the real you, the innermost person, your soul, the thing that's going to live forever. And it's only kept through Christ Jesus. And this is impossible without faith in God's word. Now, this is really important. It's very, very simple, but it's very important. The Bible says, and that settles it. If God is God is a God of truth, and He provides us with the Bible, known as the truth, it's a promise that the Word of God is to be believed and trusted and relied upon in every area of our lives. There's no area you can't trust the Lord. And maybe God has put you in this position so that you turn and trust Him, because it's out of your control, out of my control. So this is very, very important. He promises to keep our heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And either we trust God with that, or we're going to take on our own responsibilities. Now think, this, I know you heard this verse many times, but think about what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? He cares for you. But you know what verse says before that? It speaks about humility. It's very important that we humble ourselves and then cast our care upon Him. He don't want you to worry. He knows what the world's made up of. He knew it when He created it. He knew what it was going to be like after Adam sinned. He knew what was going to take place. God knows everything. There's nothing that escapes the Almighty's eye. His omniscient eye. And so because God knows everything, when something takes place in our lives, a phone call, a text, a situation outside our home, inside our home, whatever it is, God knows these things. The first thing you ought to do is humble yourself and then cast your care upon Him. That's what you should do. Amen. So this speaks here of God's promises are true. And so what do we need to do? We need to surrender our lives, our heart, our mind to God's will. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the world passeth away. Some of you young people don't understand that, but it's passed away. It's not going to be here forever. You think you're going to live in hip-hop the rest of your days? It's passing away. It may be tonight. It's going to be gone. Your fashion is going to pass away. God says that in His Word. Fashion is going to pass away. In my lifetime, went from crew cuts to long hair to, normal haircuts. People shaving their head now. Fashion's passed away. But the Word of God applies forever. And that's where your trust ought to be. So the Bible says the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I'm doing God's will for my life. I've been saved. I have peace with God. I got right with God September 14, 1976. And I have the peace of God. And I live that way every day. See, don't you worry about things? No. Is that your personality? No. It's being conformed to the image of Christ. I wasn't always that way. But I am today. And praise the Lord for that. The third thing we see here is in verse 9. And God says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul here is speaking about a simple idea of just obeying. That's it. Paul goes on and says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, this is important, beloved. In those verse 4 of this chapter, Paul tells, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So that's the first thing. God wants us to be a praising people. So I woke up on the wrong side of bed. Well, go back to bed and wake up on the right side. Like the guy said, my wife woke up rumpy. I blew that joke. Forget it. But anyway, the idea is, you don't wake up that way. You're in the flesh. That's where you are. You're in the flesh. You're not in the spirit. So the first thing I want to do is rejoice. And look what God says here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. It's so important, beloved, to give praise and thanksgiving, rejoicing in the Lord. And there's times you're going to have to make yourself do it. Because, you know, you're in the flesh. You've got to submit yourself. You've got to die daily. And so, second of all, we see here, verse 6, and be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the second thing is, you know, we're not to have anxieties. When people say, I had, anxiety what? Panic attack? What was your thing? Okay. I'm telling you, I don't know if you had any, and none of my business, but if you have one, it's because your mind's on yourself. I get panic attacks. Why? Where is that in the scriptures? It's not. Because you're self-focused. You're not living for the Lord. You're not living for others. It's focused on yourself. Well, I can't help you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Get your mind off yourself. Aren't you glad you're here? I mean, this is a blessing. Amen. So, God goes on and says here in verse 6, we're not to be anxietal. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about it. Why? Humble yourself and cast your care upon the Lord. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Turn into a request. Don't turn into a worry, fretting. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? Look, the bottom line of this, if you're saved by God's grace, God's going to stand with you. He's not against you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And then, the worst case scenario, you're going to die and go where? To heaven. And we have one of the best lives in the all the centuries that have passed by. The American dream is a good dream. It is. And don't get all whipped up by the news reports. It's a good life. You ever see the house you live in? You'll look at it sometime. I mean, it's far different than the houses in South Africa. That's the truth. God has blessed us. And so the things that could become anxietal, we're to bring to a prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God. And so that's what should be. We should rejoice in the Lord. The idea is that we are to not have anxieties, and if we do, turn into prayer request. Bring your cares to the Lord. Now, notice verse 5, the Bible says here, let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord's at hand. You know, I was doing some reading today, and someone said that it may be that not just talking about the Lord's return, but it may be that God's just reminding us that He's here. He's with us. And I know you say, well, preacher, I got myself all worried this week and so on. But God was here the whole time. If you're a child of God, there's no need to be upset. No need to be bent out of shape. There's no reason. God's here. God is at hand. That's an important thought to have. Many times we accept a verse speaking about the Lord's return, yet the idea maybe the Lord could return, but the Lord is at hand, or God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows your situation. He's there. God is in your trial. He's as close to you as breath. In everything, we are to pray and give thanksgiving as we bring requests and thoughts and concerns to the Lord. So did you talk to the Lord today? Preacher, I didn't get a chance. Well, maybe there's your problem. The view of God for most professing Christians is very low. Most people have a very high, that vision Isaiah gives us, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Most Christians don't think of God that way. First of all, God inhabits eternity. God is the Almighty God, where nothing's impossible to God. Now notice Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. And notice, if you would, Ephesians 3, and the Bible speaks here in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3. And to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants us to be, filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what God wants? He wants our church to have the fullness of God in their lives. Every individual member. So, well, that's just for the preacher. No, it's not. It's for everyone. For everyone to be filled with God. And then notice God says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God's not limited. God's not limited to what he can do. And notice, if you would, that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please, or chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice verse 8, please. And the Bible says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9, and God is able. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe it. It doesn't matter. I believe it. I believe God is able. For someone to be saved, God is able. For someone to get a new job, God is able. To heal sick people, God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. He says here, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, there's some words there you want to circle. First of all, circle this: God is able. That's a good thing to have stand out in your Bible. And all grace, and all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work. I believe that. I believe it. I know it's true, because God's done that for us. God has sustained us. God has met our needs. God has provided for us. So the Lord instructs us back in Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. God instructs us how we're to think. And may I say this? The Bible says those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So how can we see what Paul was speaking about? The epistles. God's Word. the Bible. We're to do what God's Word says to do. And may I say this, that some of us have so much junk in our lives. What kind of junk? False philosophies, a low opinion of God, low view of God. We have the world. I mean, these things are very much prominent in new converts' lives. And that's why I say it would be good for you to read the New Testament through in a month. And read again, and read again, and read again. Fill yourself. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So, we've got to consider what Paul is saying here. And it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. Because there are things in our hearts, in our world, that want to exalt itself above God. You've got to bring it down. You got to bring these things down. You got to deny your thoughts, sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts, manipulative thoughts, selfish thoughts. And these things can be brought down. Again, I can do all things through Christ. I'm not going to listen to what the world says or listen to what my heart says. I'm going to do God's will for my life. And this is very important, beloved. Very important. When we have peace with God and the peace of God. So many people get offended at things. I'm offended. Yeah, I'm offended with this person. I'm offended with that person. You know, that is so fleshly, so worldly. The world filled with offenses. And Jesus told us, offense will come. But we're not to be offensive. And we're to forgive one another. But God says, so you're to deny your thoughts. And the Bible says, think on these things. Verse 9 says, do. Read your Bible. Pray. Walk in the Spirit. Attend church services. You know, a witness for Christ. A tithe and give offerings. These things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Life's too short, I'm telling you, beloved. And I'm not saying I'm old, I'm about to step out into eternity. I could. What I'm saying is this, life's too old, too short to be fighting and fussing and finding offenses and so on. It's not right. You don't give up your life, give up your goals and ambitions, and seek God's will for your life. Do God's will for your life. Just because you have things planned out doesn't mean that's God's will. I'm telling you right now, beloved, I go back in my mind's eye, and I just rejoice. I got saved. A few months later, I surrendered my life pretty much right away. Whatever God wanted, I wanted to do. And then, next thing you know, God called me to preach. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was going to be like to be called to preach. But I'm so thankful. As Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 states, you know, I'm doing God's will for my life. I'm finishing my course. I've run the race. You know, I've been faithful. Praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for that. You can do the same thing. I had no edge on Christianity. I was a pagan. I was lost. I was separated from God. But when I heard God's word, I submitted myself to it. And I wanted to be right with God. I wanted to, you know, have peace with God, which I had that September 14th. God changed my life. Praise the Lord for that. And I also have peace of God. See, preacher, what if this happened? What if that happened? What if none of it happens? What if it all happens? Praise the Lord. We can trust God and go on for God. We're going to live for God. We're going to serve God. And that's all that matters, beloved. It's all that matters. is doing God's will for our life. And you do that, God promises you peace. Say, don't you worry at night. No. And if I do, if I did worry, I'd cast my care upon the Lord. I trust God. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one look around.